Live from NPR News, I'm Janine Herbst. President Trump is nominating Judge Amy Coney Barrett to the U.S. Supreme Court to fill the vacancy of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Trump's choice sets up a brutal confirmation battle before the 2020 election. NPR's Sam Greenglass has more.
Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg won't be buried until Tuesday, but in the White House Rose Garden, President Trump announced his nominee to fill her seat, Amy Coney Barrett. Barrett said Ginsburg smashed glass ceilings and that she admired the late justice's close relationship with conservative Justice Antonin Scalia, who was Barrett's mentor.
His judicial philosophy is mine too. A judge must apply the law as written. Judges are not policymakers, and they must be resolute in setting aside any policy views they might hold.
At 48, she would be the youngest justice on the court and solidify the conservative majority. Sam Greenglass, NPR News, Washington.
The mayor of Rochester, New York, has named the first woman to lead that city's police department. From member station WXXI, Randy Gorman reports it's the latest development in a tumultuous time for the city and its police department.
Mayor Lovely Warren says that Cynthia Harriet Sullivan, who retired from the police department in 2009, will take over as interim chief. The previous chief was fired after police body cam video was released earlier this month of an incident in March showing police pinning Daniel Prude to the ground when they responded to a mental health call. Prude suffocated and died a week later. Harriet Sullivan, who's African-American, previously worked on a team that investigated situations involving deaths of people who were in police custody. Mayor Warren pointed to that experience.
Experience that will be beneficial to establishing needed change within the RPD.
There are multiple investigations going on at the state and local level. For NPR News, I'm Randy Gorman in Rochester.
Wildfire containment is increasing across Oregon. Outside Eugene, the Holiday Farm fire hasn't spread past 170,000 acres for days, and it's now almost half contained. From member station KLCC, Brian Bull has more.
An Oregon forestry official says crews have used the heavy recent rains and cooler weather to dig containment lines in areas they've been unable to in past weeks. One newer bit of technology helping with operations are drones. Solomon Singer is a firefighter who's used his drone to do infrared imaging of the Holiday Farm fire. He's flown it through conditions too dangerous for regular aircraft to locate fires through the dense smoke.
I expect to potentially help when the fire is fully contained and they have need to make sure that these spot fires do not pass their lines.
Warmer, windier weather next week will increase the chance of fan flames or escaped embers. Local burn bans remain in effect. For NPR News, I'm Brian Bull in Eugene.
And you're listening to NPR News. In Portland, Oregon, hundreds of supporters of President Trump gathered at a right-wing rally. That was far less, though, than the thousands the Proud Boys, organizers of the rally, expected. Dozens of people were dressed in military armor. Proud Boys said the rally was pro-police and against anti-fascist and what they called domestic terrorism. Right-wing groups have slammed the mayor, Ted Wheeler, after months of nightly protests sparked by the death of George Floyd. At the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., 40 people will be in the audience tonight for a concert that features Renee Fleming and Vanessa Williams. That hall normally seats more than 2,000. As NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports, it's one of several measures being implemented for the center's first in-person concert since March.
The Kennedy Center is taking all kinds of safety precautions. The audience will enter the Opera House through wide loading doors and sit in physically distanced pairs during the concert. Both Vanessa Williams and Renee Fleming have performed many times at the Kennedy Center. Fleming is one of the center's artistic advisors. Tonight's performance is the first in a limited series of in-person concerts that will also be live-streamed. The Kennedy Center received $25 million from the federal relief package in March, but still made drastic personnel cuts. Elizabeth Blair, NPR News, Washington.
And I'm Janine Herbst, and you're listening to NPR News.